Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. WWJD, what would Jesus do? That became a popular slogan a number of years ago in a variety of Christian circles. These four letters were printed on t-shirts, on posters, on banners, on bracelets, on jewelry, on lanyards, on bumper stickers, on ball caps, anything that you could think of, they were there. And they served a purpose, I guess, to get people to think a bit before reacting to a situation, to think about maybe how Jesus would act in this particular situation. The only problem with WWJD is that most of the time, we have no idea how Jesus would act in a variety of our life's circumstances. That truth is borne out by the fact that the greatest biblical scholars and pastors of our day, or any day for that matter, none of them can agree on the basic tenets of our faith and the interpretation of God's Word. We all have different ideas about what the Scriptures say. And that's why we have this multiplicity of denominations. I think it's interesting to note that the greatest theological minds of the first century during Jesus' lifetime, they all thought that they knew what the Messiah would do when the Messiah came. And it's because of that, that they didn't recognize Jesus as the Messiah. Because Jesus didn't do the things that they thought the Messiah would do. Finally, even the 12 disciples, Jesus' closest companions and friends, they were always having to be corrected and instructed by Jesus because they kept getting it wrong also whenever they tried to anticipate what Jesus wanted them to do. And so while WWJD is a nice attempt to help us walk the way of a disciple, in the final analysis, it falls short. Because we just don't know what Jesus would do. All we know is what Jesus did do. And what he did do in his famous Sermon on the Mount is to give his hearers a very dangerous rule to guide them in their behavior and to help them live out their lives as disciples of God. And what he said was this: in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Now, most of us know this dangerous rule simply as the golden rule. What you may not know is that forms of this rule can be found in a variety of ancient cultures and languages, long before Jesus ever gave this rule. But in every place that it's found, apart from Christ, it is stated in the negative. Don't do to someone else what you don't want them to do to you. So basically, you see, if you mind your own business and you just leave other people alone, you can easily follow this worldly rule. But leaving other people alone and minding your own business doesn't fly when you're trying to abide by this rule as Jesus gave it. You see, the way that Jesus gave his rule calls for us to pay attention, to get involved, to make an effort and a sacrifice and a commitment on behalf of other people. That's why this rule is so dangerous. This rule requires us to act on behalf of someone else, and to love others, and to serve others, and to forgive others, and to be kind and merciful to others. Whereas the worldly version of this law calls upon us to ignore other people, Jesus' golden rule calls for us to get involved with other people. Because you see, if we would want someone to stop and help us when we get a flat tire and we're all stranded on the side of the road, then we need to stop and help those people also. And if we would like someone to let us in the lane when we're trying to get off the highway, when we're in a lot of traffic and everybody's crowded together and they won't let us in, then we need to let other people in our lane also. And if we don't like other people judging us for the clothes that we wear, or the way that we raise our children, or how we spend our money, or maybe even the color of our skin, then we shouldn't judge other people for these things either. This rule of Jesus is dangerous precisely because it's difficult. It causes us to act in ways that are contrary to our nature. You see, our sinful nature tells us to react in kind. You know, if someone cuts us off in traffic, well, we cut them off. If someone sends out a mean tweet about us, well, we send out an even meaner tweet about them. If someone hates us, well, we hate them. But Jesus says to turn the other cheek, to love those who hate us, to pray for those who persecute us. See, Jesus tells us to treat other people not the way that they treat us, but to treat them the way we would like them to treat us, which means to treat them with mercy, with love, with respect. Which is exactly how Jesus treated us. Rather than treating us as our sins deserved, rather than holding us accountable for every violation of God's word that we do, rather than making us pay the debt that we owe to God, Jesus suffered and died in our place. And it's because of his death and his resurrection that God has forgiven us of our debts. And he has completely washed away our sins. All because Jesus did for us what he would want others to do for him. Jesus is not only our example of the golden rule, but he is our savior from the golden rule. Because as much as we all know how we are supposed to treat others the way that we ourselves want to be treated, the reality is that we usually don't treat people that way. And thus we need God's forgiveness. And thanks to Jesus' death and his resurrection, we have God's forgiveness. It's really not that complicated. That is, you know, knowing how to treat other people. But it is dangerous, and it is difficult. It calls for us to sacrifice our time and our energy and sometimes even our money. It summons us to get involved and to make a difference in other people's lives. And finally, it requires us to live and act contrary to the ways of the world, the way that the world has wired us in our original sin. It calls for us to place others before ourselves. It calls for us to reflect the life of Jesus. And thus, while we may not know what Jesus would do, we do know what Jesus did do. He did to others as he would have wanted them to do to him. May we follow this very dangerous golden rule as we live out our lives of dangerous discipleship for the sake of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior. Amen.